Gomer Jobo Lower. Hey, this is Gleopod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from home of the 2014 World Series champions, San Francisco, California. Today is Thursday, the 30th of October. On this date, in 1534, the English Parliament passed the Act of Supremacy, making King Henry VIII head of the English Church, a role formerly occupied by the Pope. 1811, Jane Austen's first novel, Sense and Sensibility, is published. 1831, in Southampton County, Virginia, escaped slave Nat Turner is captured and arrested for leading the bloodiest slave rebellion in U.S. history. 1922, Benito Mussolini is made Prime Minister of Italy. 1938, Orson Welles scares the United States with a fake news show on a Martian invasion. 1941, Roosevelt approves the Lend-Lease aid to the USSR and other allies. 1944, Aaron Copland's Appalachian Spring premieres at the Library of Congress. 1961, the Soviet Union detonates a 50-megaton hydrogen bomb, the largest explosive device ever detonated, nuclear or otherwise. By the way, last week we said the bomb in Lebanon was the biggest non-nuclear explosion ever. We were wrong. 1974, Muhammad Ali and the rumble in the jungle. On that exact same day, as a member of the California Angels, Major League Baseball player Nolan Ryan throws the fastest recorded pitch ever at 100.9 miles per hour. 1975, in a pivotal moment for European democracy, King Juan Carlos assumes power in Spain so that 6 years later he can prevent a coup by the army. Birthdays today are John Adams, second president, Ezra Pound, poet, Robert Caro, writer and journalist, and Grace Slick, taker of drugs and singer. Today, it's just me, Mark Mullen. My Georgian Journal and Fides Politra article this week is about the textbook wars of East Asia. Textbooks in history textbooks, specifically in Georgia, what they do, what they don't do, and what they should do. Thanks again for posting to the forum. If you'd like to comment on our blog or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send an email to tpeelpod@gmail.com. On the 28th of October, four officials and one former official from the Ministry of Defense were arrested on charges of misspending 4.1 million lari. According to the prosecutor's office, the detainees are accused of arranging a sham tender in 2013 for laying fiber optic cable and procuring networking equipment. Among those arrested is the former head of the Ministry of Defense's procurement department, who held the post from July 2013 to January 2014. Two serving officials from the procurement department, the head of the IT department of the general staff of the armed forces, and another official from the same department. The detainees may face from 7 to 11 years in jail. According to the prosecution, the sham tender was arranged in a way to advantage Silknet, one of the country's main telecommunication operators. It was awarded a 6.7 million lari contract, while the actual market price of the services was only 2.6 million lari. They also said that there is an ongoing investigation regarding other officials from the Ministry of Defense who were involved. The Ministry of Defense quickly released a statement that their procurement process was carried out in full compliance with Georgian legislation. It also notes that the Ministry of Defense is part of NATO's Building Integrity Program, and that in 2013, the Ministry of Defense received a positive assessment regarding its anti-corruption reforms and was asked to share its experience with other NATO partner countries. As such, the statement continues that while the procurement case under question is classified as secret, we offer to declassify this procurement in order to provide transparency to the process. Pretty good offer. Ministry of Defense is interested in a thorough investigation and expresses full readiness to continue intensive cooperation with all states, except the pretty good offer part. Silknet also said in a statement that it acted in full compliance with legislation by the Ministry of Defense. As a note, when the arrests were announced, Defense Minister Irakli Alasania was on a visit to Paris. He's not scheduled to be back in Georgia until the 7th of November, which is, you know, I mean, why would they do that while he's gone? Because all of this is probably set on weakening him. Chief of General Staff of the Georgian Armed Forces was also out of the country, paying a three-day visit to Estonia. The arrests have stirred speculation that the move might be part of infighting within the Georgian Dream Coalition targeting Defense Minister Alasania. The arrests evoked parallels to another case when several officials from the Agriculture Ministry were arrested in 2013 on charges of misspending public funds through a mishandled tender. Then-Minister of Agriculture Dato Kirvalidze resigned, But 9 months later, in February 2014, the misspending charges against the agricultural ministry were dropped. On the 29th of October, when asked by journalists if he thinks that Alassania should resign, Prime Minister Irakli Ghadabashvili responded, quote, "I think you hurry too much. We should all wait for the investigation. Allow the prosecutor's office to investigate this case in order not to leave any question unanswered," end quote. Alassania, who's now on an official visit to Germany, has not yet commented on the issue. Alassania is the most popular politician in Georgia, and there have been rumors for months, particularly around the last somewhat pointless cabinet reshuffle, that he will be replaced. On the 25th of October, Deputy Minister of Diaspora Issues Sandro Bregadze gave an interview to newspaper Kvitis Palithra. He used hate speech against Irakli Vacharadze, who's head of the LGBT rights NGO Identoba, and calls for physical reprisals against him. A number of NGOs, including the hardest working NGO in Georgia, TI Georgia, the Georgian Young Lawyers, GRASS, and ISFED, said his views are not permissible for a public official and violate fundamental individual rights and speech. They call for his resignation. Their letter is in our Things to Read. Sandro Bregadze was a member of parliament from Aslan Abashidze's Agordzineba, or Revival Party, and is a well-known meathead. What he's doing as deputy minister is anybody's guess, and he should surely resign because he's certainly bringing nothing to the table as a minister. Whether or not they'll do that is another question. Following up on last week's story on the dispute in the mixed Christian-Muslim village of Moche regarding the status of a destroyed building which was formerly a mosque as part of the protest on Thursday morning, the 23rd of October, Muslim children didn't show up at school. Up to 185 pupils from six villages. The local media was also told that it was for the children's protection in case of any danger. On the 23rd of October, three of the 14 people who were arrested in Moche protests the day earlier were released. The remaining 11 were released on the 24th and fined 250 lari each. The 11, whom police accused of disobeying orders and petty hooliganism, denied the allegations and complained of police abuse during the protest. Commenting the day after the protests, on the 23rd of October, Prime Minister Ghadabashvili described the Moche event as a minor dispute. He condemned the violence as unacceptable, noting that it also includes the violence involving damaging police vehicles with stones. Ghadabashvili reminded everyone, whether they are Christian or Muslim, that you are equal before the law and you have to obey the law. The state will provide for the protection of your rights and will not let anyone violate your rights. And will not let anyone insult your faith, end quote. Yeah, sort of. On the 23rd of October, several human rights groups, including TI Georgia, GILA, and ISFED, said in a joint statement that the police used disproportionate force against the protesters in Moche. The statement also accuses the government of inadequately protecting the rights of Muslims in several cases over the past 2 years. It says that religious violence against Muslims is frequently caused by the intolerant attitudes of the local religious groups, usually Orthodox Christians, that the government was unable to adequately handle the cases of religious extremism, didn't conduct proper investigations, frequently expresses loyalty towards the majority group, and tries to cover up the problems by ignoring the rights of the Muslim community. It also said that Prime Minister Ghadabashvili's statement that day was inadequate and doesn't correspond to the needs of the Muslim community. It also accused the government of negligence by assigning Akaki Machuatadze, the governor of Samska Javakheti region, to handle the problem, since he has previously been aggressive while dealing with local Muslims. During a press conference on the 24th of October, Archbishop Teodore of Achaltsikhe claims that the disputed building in Moche was actually formerly a church and that allowing it to be used by Muslims is unacceptable. He said that according to historical sources, in the year 1595, it was a church, that in the 1920s, the Soviets planned to destroy the church and build a mosque there instead, but that the construction was never finished and there never actually was a mosque. It was just made into a culture house. He concludes that it would be reasonable to hand the building over to the Patriarch and to allow it to decide what to do with the building. Thank you very much for your even-handedness there, Archbishop. Following up on the previous week's stories on the Russian proposed treaty of integration with Abkhazia, in a televised address on the 22nd of October, Abkhaz leader Raul Khadzimba and Kremlin goon Mole said that Moscow is not trying to impose oppose its proposed draft that was leaked in the new treaty on Abkhazia. He called for a calm working atmosphere to develop Suchumi's proposals and to avoid discrediting the idea of expanding ties with Moscow, reiterating that he too has disagreements with some parts of the Moscow proposed draft, like some of the comma placements. Khajimba said that the ongoing public discussion will lead to the development of a balanced text, which will then be negotiated by the Abkhaz negotiators and Russia. He also said that outlining a common defense, strengthening border protection with Georgia, creating conditions for freedom of movement of people and cargo addressed by the new treaty correspond to Abkhaz interests, and that rejecting these issues would hamper Abkhazia's further economic development and would also create irreparable damage to Suchumi's bilateral ties with Moscow. Yeah. UNM is planning to hold a protest rally on Rustavelli Avenue on Tbilisi on the 15th of November. They announced it early on the 25th of October. They said they're holding the rally because the current government is doing nothing to challenge Russia's attempts to annex Abkhazia. UNM Member of Parliament Zura Japarize called on opposition parties, civil society organizations, and citizens who share our concerns about the policy pursued by the Georgian authority, the capitulative policy pursued by the Georgian authorities towards Russia, to join the rally. Speaking to journalists on the 29th of October, Prime Minister Khadabashvili called the protests ridiculous and that he didn't care to comment about the protests, and commented, "They are announced by some traitors." He continued, "The fact that Abkhazia and Ossetia are occupied is because of them, and now they are planning a protest rally against what? They should be holding a rally against themselves," end quote. Then he called the rally a provocation. Quote, "I am informed that the UNM are planning provocations and they need this planned rally in order to plot these provocations. They are planning to pay 15 lari to citizens, to poor citizens, whom they plan to bring in from the regions and have them beat each other. That's the UNM and I don't want to waste time on them," end quote. On the 25th of October, Misha gave an interview to Rustavioti from Brussels. He said that the Russian oligarch, former Prime Minister B.I., has scrapped the election system, and that there are no more classical rules of the democratic game in Georgia, that B.I. won't transfer power through elections in 2016, that they are attempting to establish a provincial dictatorship in Georgia. He says the goal should be to rally Georgian patriots, not around political parties, but around the idea of saving Georgia. On the 29th of October, the European Commission adopted the second progress report on Georgia's implementation of the Visa Liberalization Action Plan with the EU. The report concludes that Georgia meets the first phase requirements of the visa dialogue and is now entering the second phase. Since November 2013, when European Commission issued its first progress report on Georgia's implementation of VLAP, the country has adopted laws and legislative amendments in security, asylum, and anti-corruption and money laundering stuff. 28th of October, the National Security Council met to discuss how to respond to the Russia-proposed treaty with Abkhazia. It was held in the presidential palace and chaired by President Mark Velashvili. Prime Minister Khadabashvili attended. He did not attend the previous session of the council, which was the first one held under Mark Velashvili's chairmanship in August. After the meeting, the president and the prime minister made a joint appearance before journalists. A number of permanent members of the NSC were not in attendance because they were on foreign visits, including Defense Minister Alassania, Interior Minister Alexandre Chikaidze, and Finance Minister Nodar Khaduri. Last week, some government members suggested to postpone the NSC meeting, triggering speculation that the prime minister and the government were searching for pretext not to attend the meeting convened by the president. South Ossetia will also sign an agreement of cooperation and integration with Russia, according to RIA Novosti interviewed with parliamentary chairman Anatoly Bibilov. Nothing was leaked because anyone who would have leaked it is now in exile in North Ossetia. He said it will be, Bibilov said it will be more advanced than the Abkhaz one, if that's possible, and the document is being prepared and will be ready will be delivered to Skhinvali before the end of the year. Following up on public discussions on domestic violence, on the 28th of October, prominent women in Georgia took part in a theater performance dedicated to women who have been victims of violence. The performance, titled Women Wounded to Death, Women Read Real Women's Stories Aloud. Among the participants were First Lady Maka Chichua, Justice Minister Teotsu Lukiani, Foreign Minister Panjakidze, and painter Rusudan Petviashvili. The Republican Party, one of the six parties in the Georgian Dream Coalition, released a statement laying out their agenda for the next 2 years, now that, in their words, the authoritarian regime of the UNM has been dismantled and an irreversible course towards European integration has been guaranteed. They list five things the Georgian Dream needs to achieve: strengthen the institutions of a multi-party democracy, fast-paced development of democratic institutions, formation of a competitive and fast-growing economy, the foundation of effective state governance, ensuring the security of the country. As such, they believe that the Georgian Dream needs to be refined into a European-style coalition with a formalized decision-making system. And that's the important part. They argue that the coalition is made stronger by being more democratic, by being a coalition in which the partner party's interests are taken into account. The Republicans have 9 members of parliament, including parliamentary chairman Dato Usupashvili. The idea being that there need to be formal decision-making processes rather than a meeting between the prime minister and Ivanishvili to decide things, and the coalition will be strengthened because of that. It'll be interesting to see how long the Republicans are a part of that coalition and whether they pull out before the parliamentary elections in a couple of years. A group of Iranian members of parliament are visiting Georgia from the 27th to the 31st of October, meeting with their Georgian counterparts. The visit comes less than 2 months after the chairman of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the Georgian parliament, Teto Japaridze, visited Tehran. On the 28th of October, there's a blast at the local branch of the State Security Service in Zubdidi. It was caused by a faulty water heater. One person was killed in the collapsed building, a 32-year-old senior special task force officer from the Interior Ministry. Deputy Interior Minister Vaklan Gomalauri went to the scene. He said the incident was an accident and not an attack or planted explosive device. According to the latest World Bank report, Doing Business 2015, Going Beyond Efficiency, Georgia ranked the highest in ease of doing business for countries in Eastern Europe and Central Asia region. Globally, it ranked 15th out of 189 countries. Singapore's first place. Misha commented on his Facebook page, mentions that during his presidency, Georgia ranked 8th in ease in doing business. If they, didn't get asked to make campaign contributions. Russian Airlines Aeroflot resumed regular daily flights between Moscow and Tbilisi on the 27th of October after a 6-year pause. Russia cut regular direct air flights with Georgia in October 2006 following a spy row between the two countries. Flights were restored in March 2008, but were again suspended after the August 2008 war. In 2010, Georgian Airways and Russian Siberia Airlines launched flights which were formerly called charter flights, but were actually conducted on a regular basis. On the 27th of October, Prime Minister Khadabashvili gave an hour-long televised speech about the achievements of the Georgian Dream's 2 years in power. He said that the government inherited a grave legacy from its predecessor and had to launch fundamental reforms across the board in order to make policies more human-oriented. He also blamed the UNM government for the situation now in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, and then turned to their future in Georgia, something Georgian Dream policy will achieve. He said, and I quote, "We and our future generations," listen to this, this is important, quote, "We and our future generations will never tolerate it because this is our soil. This is our territory, which our ancestors kept for us with their own blood. You cannot be happy without us, and we cannot be happy without you. We really want confidence to be restored between us. We passed through a very difficult path together. There were grave mistakes, but now we live in the 21st century, and we offer you to live in a united, strong Georgia. I believe that you may still have a problem with trusting Tbilisi, but look at our policy, look at our approach, look at our rhetoric and our deeds. We, Georgia, actually have a huge perspective of progress, but we do not want to develop without you. So once again, I want to call you, our Abkhaz and South Ossetian brothers, to analyze and think over it, that it is the territory of united Georgia. You have been an autonomous republic, and we offer the same, to have autonomy, but within a united, strong, independent Georgia, and to live in peace. This is my brotherly and friendly proposal," the Georgian prime minister said. you know, somewhat conciliatory, and you didn't really hear the previous government really address the Abkhaz and the South Ossetians. Now, I don't think they really care that much, but still interesting to hear a direct address to them. Outgoing EU High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security, Cathy Ashton, sent a farewell letter to Foreign Minister Maya Panjshikidze on the 29th of October. She said that the EU is a reliable and committed partner to Georgia. Let's see if there's an intro letter from the Italian who'll be taking her place. On the 27th of October, French Defense Minister Jean-Yves Le Drian thanked Georgia for its participation in the French-led peacekeeping mission in the Central African Republic. Defense Minister Alassania was on an official visit. This summer, Georgia sent more than 100 troops to the mission. According to reporting by the New York Times, Silicon Valley firm FireEye has revealed that for 7 years, hackers working for the Russian government had been using sophisticated techniques to break into computer networks, including systems run by the Georgian government, other Eastern European governments and militaries, and NATO. Whole article is in our Things to Read. Following up on previous week's stories and the clashes between opposing youth organizations Free Zone and Free Generation, on the 22nd of October, police detained a man suspected of beating the same Osvaldo Savali journalist, which allegedly instigated the clash between the youth movements on the 1st of October. According to the Interior Ministry, the suspect insulted and beat Zaza Davitaya. He was detained the next day and, according to the ministry, admits guilt. BBC released a list of 100 women of 2014, the world's influential and rising women. It featured two women from the South Caucasus neighbor Azerbaijan, Arzu Gebula, and Azeri blogger who tweets at Arzu Gebula. That's A-R-Z. That's at, I mean, the Twitter, you know, thing. At Arzugeybulla. And Sabina Kurgnayeva, a footballer who also runs her own bicycle rental business in Azerbaijan. Good job. The U.S. Embassy will give $50,000 for the architectural rehabilitation of the Church of the Virgin in the Galati Monastery complex in Imereti. Likewise, rehabilitation work at the historical Georgian İshani Cathedral complex in the former Georgian province of Tavkarjleti, now in Turkey, has resumed. Construction works were suspended earlier this year. Reportedly, on the 23rd of October, some passengers on a bus threw a fellow rider off because he was black and they were afraid he had Ebola. The man kept telling the other bus riders that he was from France. Former Minister of Economy from 2006-2008, Georgi Arveladze, is now an advisor to former Ukrainian Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, who seems to be in sort of political never-neverland these days. Arveladze said his role as advisor to Tymoshenko is to prepare a reform package for Ukraine. Arveladze is a Misha ally. His wife is Ukrainian and graduated from Kiev University, along with Misha and current Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko. U.S. Ambassador Richard Norlin and Israeli Ambassador Yuval Fuchs were awarded the title Honorary Residents of Tbilisi on the 25th of October by Tbilisi Mayor Dato Narmania. Air Arabia started direct flights to Tbilisi on the 28th of October. They fly twice a week to Tbilisi from the international airport of Sharjah, UAE, north of Dubai. In parliamentary news, there's been a debate regarding extending the deadline to propose legislative amendments to limit the Interior Ministry's access to private telecommunications data. In the summer, Parliament passed a package of legislative amendments setting tighter rules for law enforcement agencies to carry out surveillance activities. This included introducing higher justification for obtaining a court surveillance warrant and increasing the authorities of personal data protection inspector. However, the key issue of the security agency's unrestricted direct access to telecommunications service providers' networks was not addressed. And this is really the big one, because the Interior Ministry likes to have a Hoover to all of the mobile phone companies' servers so that they can just look at whatever they want, whenever they feel like it, including of the political opposition and everybody else. The amendments envisaged setting up a working group that would propose further legislative amendments on the issue by the 1st of November. The working group, consisting of MPs and government civil society organizations, has not yet produced a bill. Georgian Jerry, Member of Parliament Shalva Shavgulidze, proposed extending the deadline by 6 months until the 1st of April 2015, rather than have them hastily propose amendments just to meet the initial 1st of November deadline, since they have not really done anything in the several months that they've had to get moving, not without the NGOs prompting them to get moving. The proposal to extend the deadline is receiving strong criticism from civil society organizations and even some Georgian Dream MPs. On the 28th of October, at a hearing of the Parliamentary Committee of Legal Affairs, members of the working group spoke strongly against extending the deadline. Lasha Tughushi, editor-in-chief of the Daily Resonanci, who's also a member of the working group, argued that the Interior Ministry wants to maintain the current status quo, making it unlikely they will reach an agreement on the law with an additional 6 months either. Parliamentary Committee for Legal Affairs endorsed discussing extending the deadline in Parliament. Two Georgian Dream MPs, Zura Abashidze and Ani Mirotadze, voted against. Earlier the same day, on the 28th of October, several members of the working group, along with civil society organizations, released a joint statement protesting that the proposal to extend the deadline was tabled without it even being discussed in the working group. They say that further delay in tackling the issue will only extend the existence of the system that violates the privacy rights by law enforcement agencies. Public defender Ucha Nanuashvili also condemned the proposal to extend the deadline and said that the parliament had enough time to develop the bill before the 1st of November. Also on the 28th of October, President Margvelashvili met with Georgian Dream member of parliament Shavgulidze and the chair of the Parliamentary Committee for Legal Affairs. He previously met with those advocating for depriving the Interior Ministry direct access to telecoms operator servers. President wields veto power on whether to extend the deadline. According to the President's Parliamentary Secretary, on the 3rd of October, the President asked for a meeting with the Interior Ministry representatives to hear their position on the issue, but did not receive a response. So mature. In Kvitis Azrebi this week, Mehrab Metrovelli, a journalist for Kvitis Palitra, talks about violence against women and why there is this problem in Georgian society. He said it's not just the fault of the abusive men, but of women too. He says that when women experience violence at home, they don't talk about it and try to hide it from the public and their neighbors because they don't want others to know or talk about their domestic problems. And so the problem persists. Metrovelli is adamant that this attitude has to change, that there has to be educational programs for women to learn about their rights and how to protect them and how to protect themselves from their own husbands. He also thinks there's a problem with Georgian girls' attitudes who like it when their boyfriends are aggressive towards others and they feel proud about how tough their boyfriends are. Metrovelli concludes that society should teach women how to make good decisions when choosing a husband, and that the law must take care of the criminals. The meme this week is a map by the website Project Youth that's been floating around on Facebook. It's Europe according to Georgians. It's funny. Take a look. Eric Livni and Lasha Labadze write for the I Said Economist blog this week on the fight against crime in Georgia. They note that while crime is allegedly on the rise since the summer, the Ministry of Interior crime stats show otherwise. From anecdotal evidence, people do not trust the interior statistics. They attribute the crime statistics problem to people systematically underreporting petty crime and a lack of transparent methodology in police crime reporting. Same deal in the Shevardnadze era for those of us who are around. Will Cathcart writes for the Daily Beast on the top ISIS commander and Pankisi Gorge native, Abu Omar al-Shishani. He writes on his, quote, his fierce Chechen bride, princess brides, her previous husband's suspicious death, his U.S. training in intelligence tactics, and his mysterious puppet master older brother, end quote. On that note, Russian Caucasus analyst Nina Jobe has a response and a critique to Cathcart's Daily Beast piece, which she says has a lot of sensationalism and gaps and inconsistencies. Michael Cesari also has a piece on Pankisi Chechen fighters in Syria. He says the actual number of Pankisi guys fighting is quite low, despite their representative and high-up ISIS leadership. It's not an issue of Islamic radicalization in the valley, which has been used before by Russia as an excuse for all sorts of things. He advises the Georgian government to invest in Pankisian poverty alleviation programs. More on this Pankisi trend. Analyst Joanna Paraskuk has a blog called Chechens in Syria, where she documents all the things related to Caucasus fighters there. Latest blog post on the Muslim Shishani, definitely worth following her if this theme interests you. Post in Liz Fuller's Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty blog, Caucasus report addressing some statements in Misha's Rustavi 2 interview where he criticizes the current government. She's very much against Misha and says it quite clearly in there. But her, especially where Misha criticizes the electoral system, which is a little ridiculous, she's right in her criticism. The latest CRC blog post on physical exercise in Georgia, spoiler alert, there's not a whole lot of it, but if you do it, it makes you happy. Check out the Flickr account of Tbilisi-based photographer Onik Krikorian for pictures from this year's Tbilisi Soba this past weekend. As mentioned above, a letter by various NGOs, but mainly TI, calling for the Deputy Minister of Diaspora Issues, Sandra Bregadze, the meathead, to resign for publicly using hate speech. And then they list some of the stupid things he said. New York Times piece on Russia and China and cyberbullying targeting Georgia and others, as mentioned above. According to journalist Robert Beckhausen, writing for Medium in a thing he has called Wars of Bore or War is Boring or something like that. It's a good sort of column or set of stories. The Baltic states are studying battle tactics from Georgia's 2008 war in preparation for possible Russian tanks coming their way. Hint, get lots of anti-tank weapons. Tbilisi-based BBC journalist Rehan Dimitriye has a podcast on Iraqi Kurds fleeing to Georgia. Joseph Alexandre Smith writes for Georgia Today on Tbilisi's only English-language Georgian Orthodox Church service. Quite interesting. Monica Elena writes for Business New Europe on Tbilisi's Building Frenzy, an article in Vesnik Avkaza summarizing some of the Moche events. All these things, Tariq, will be posted on our forum. Also in this week's Georgian Journal article, check out, there's this crazy interview with Stalin's great-grandson who claims Stalin wasn't a murderer and blames world problems on Western society. Another about inhabitants of the Georgian-Ossetian divided villages who are victims of the Kremlin's barbed wire boundary line policy. And an interview with one of the 17 out-of-work Georgian military pilots who moved to the Congo to teach aviation and aircraft maintenance. Discusses their life and mentions Ebola. Quite interesting. This week's geocapital number is 23. This is the percentage of Georgia's exports to the EU that have increased in 2014 compared to the same period last year. BBC is collecting stories on the social lives of young women in the South Caucasus from Armenia, Azerbaijan, and Georgia. Are you allowed to go out at night, go to concerts? Do you have a curfew? They're calling for young women in the region to share their experiences with them. Please send any material before the 4th of November. Send your comments to haveyoursay@bbc.co.uk and pictures or videos to yourpics@bbc.co.uk. For those in Tbilisi, on the 31st of October, MadFest presents future short screening and Halloween after party in the newly opened Club Didi Gallery located under the Philharmonia. For people in London, the British Georgian Society is hosting the 26th Georgian Studies Day. They bring together people from various sectors to address all issues related to Georgia's political, economic, and cultural life. This year's theme is Georgia and the Future of Young People. It will be held on Thursday, 6th of November, at the University of Westminster, 309 Regent Street. Email mbakradze1@westminster.ac.uk to register. Also in London, British Georgian Society, in cooperation with Women's Fund Georgia, will host a film screening of Levon Kolkovashvili's 2008 documentary, Women from Georgia. It will be at the Georgian Embassy in London on Friday, the 21st of November at 6:30 p.m. On the 31st of October in Tbilisi, the association ANICA is hosting a photo exhibition on the topic Children with Disabilities, Part of Our Society. It's at 6 p.m. in the ANICA room, Dadiani Street, 136. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk, tango, x-ray, tango, bravo, uniform, kilo. Our email address is tfielpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tfielpod.com. And from 2003, we'll finish with Lewis Logic and The Ugly Truth in honor of the poor guy who got tossed off the Marshutka. Hope any of you Marshutka drivers will defend the next person that something idiotic like that happens to.
You better be on my mind, on my mind, on my mind. owns money, who pays tax and has a life. While these black bitches' stomachs stay fat with parasites, and they have to have a pipe to relax on average nights with their bastard bratty types. All act like savage types. It's the legacy of black and Spanish guys. Vagrancy and general complacency of dads who have no eyes. Police should beat their fucking skulls in with magnum lights. Illegitimate, illiterate blacks should have no rights, cause they go from having lives to having life. And I pay to feed their appetites and give them TV with satellites. Those thieving, stealing, dirty fucking heathens dealing dope need to steal a boat, sail their monkey asses back to Africa and seal the coast with giant gates made of stealing boats, so we can try and save the decent white God-fearing folk.
Yeah, I got strangers moving into my own backyard. Hometown battlefield times is hard. Crime is rising on my horizon, and it's getting mighty hard for folks to find a job. A lot of folks say that the times are changing, but the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I don't know.
This is rude, hard speech, cause I'm not anti-Semitic. Jews are cheap, with every breath they're breathing through large beaks. They're telling more fibs and squeezing four kids into two car seats. What a waste of white skin, heartbeats, and faces like men. Nigga lovers who treat the beast as if the ape was like them. They killed the Savior Christ and denied that he was God's seed. It doesn't come as a surprise that meet the Nazis. I live to see the day that rabbis decree their cocks be clipped at first. Till they ain't a Jewish dick that works. We should take care of the rich at first on Hanukkah. Mother out their breath and words with yarmulkes, till they turn to vomiters, choking on their manischewitz. Menorahs to the foreheads would make some handy weapons, cause there's no room for clandestine gold blooms, Blatzenbergs. We'll just wipe them off the map of
yeah,
Earth.
I got strangers moving into my own backyard. Hometown battlefield times is hard. Crime is rising on my horizon, and it's getting mighty hard for folks to find a job. A lot of folks say that the times is changing, but the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I don't know where I'm gonna go.
Sneaky guys with cheeky eyes and the turban folks, godheads who settle on our urban coast. I wish that they would drop dead, buying up convenience stores and restaurants. Either or, they sneaking in. I'm tired of the lenient laws, treating them like real Americans when after all, these rice-eating heathens even eat their cats and dogs. And that's because they're misers, fucking cabbies in a hurry, covered in the stench of curry and their awful drivers. The law provides us with no means of protection, not even a weapon to stop the evil conception. And my people are threatened by the rate at which they multiply, alarming enough to make the true patriots' pulses high. Cultist like worship, Hindu and Buddhist rituals. Our Lord Christ returned his grave due to his principles. The way they're taking bread from the truly blessed sons, I'd have to say the only good brown and yellow folks
yeah,
are dead ones.
Strangers moving into my own backyard. Hometown battlefield times is hard. Crime is rising on my horizon, and it's getting mighty hard for folks to find a job. A lot of folks say that the times are changing, but the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I don't know where I'm going to go. I don't know.
I'd like to add, lastly, AIDS ain't a disease. We should take tainted IVs and jam them up the pillow, biting fags ass cheeks, and dykes are twice as bad. What kind of woman doesn't like the shag? No dick for those chicks, what kind of life is that? We got Marxists fighting for the right to drag queens and queers whose sperms on like germ farms, breeding fear. The fucking fairies need braziers, high heels and dick. The stuff's so scary to even hear it, I'm feeling sick. Your body parts got a right feeling fit, silly fairy. Nobody wants fags and dykes to join the military. We'd be better off killing every bitchy lesbian and wimpy feminine man than to let them in. Then again, I know it seems like I'm the devil's riding henchman, but no one on this earth loves all of God's inventions. Not to mention, I got a date to try and talk with Satan and lots of tension, cause I'm late for my inauguration.
Right this way, Governor Bush.